Our topic today is Purim. We called it "Where Was a Man's Mistake?" How did the Simcha of a man turn into the Simcha of Purim? Simchas Purim. Okay. Just before we start, I want to say this is the last class before Pesach because in 2 weeks it's Purim, and then I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. So, Mirtz Hashem. So, after Pesach, we let you, you know, we'll send an email. Okay. Chazal say that there are two aspects of the soul of a human being. 12 kochot, twelve capabilities that the human soul has. And they correspond to the 12 months of the year. Examples for the capabilities of the soul. We have Reiya, Shmi'a, Dibur, sight, hearing, speech, and it does not refer to the practical, technical ability to hear or speak or see, because obviously this is not only in the nefesh of the human being. Animals have this ability too, and it's not a power in the nefesh. It's not something in the soul. It's fixed about the ability to see, meaning to see something, to realize, to understand, to comprehend something. When we speak about hearing, it's to get it, right? Not just to hear it technically, but to get something, right? The same with the rest. That's just the power of speech, like, you know, some animals make voices too, right? But the understanding of what one says and so on, right? So there are 12 powers like this in the soul of the human being. One of them is tzchok, laughter. It's one of the capabilities of a human being. If you think about it, animals don't laugh. They don't know to laugh. The term laughter, tzchok or tzchok, with a sin, sometimes it appears like this, there is a slight difference between them, that the term tzchok appears regarding to Hashem. In Perek Beis, in Tehillim, right, when we speak Lama Rakshu Goyim Uleumim Begurik, right, Ityatfu Malchei Eretz Veroznim Al Hashem Ve'Al Meshicho, the nations are gathering to fight Hashem and the end of Ida Melech, right, Klal Yisrael. So Yoshev Bashamayim Yishak, Hashem who is sitting above, is laughing at them. Right? We find also the term of laughter referring to human beings. So that's one of 12 powers of the human being, the ability to laugh, and it's a power of the soul. This power of tzchok corresponds, we are told, to the month of Adar. Each power corresponds to one month and has to do with the essence of the month, with what took place in this time. Tzchok is the power that corresponds to Adar. And we want to understand why. What does it tell me about Adar? What does it tell me about Purim? Right? We are studying now the month of Adar, the first day to the month of Adar. We want to understand what does it mean, the power of Adar is the power of Tzchok. So looking at Megillat Esther, we find a consequence of Tzchok. When a person laughs, he becomes happy. To the extent that Chazal says that if a person does not have a good mood, we should tell him a joke unrelated to his reality, to the cause of the sadness. You tell him a joke, he'll laugh, and it will make him happy. Right? So tzchok and simcha, happiness and laughter, are interconnected. That's a consequence of tzchok. So let's look at the Megillah and see what does the Megillah tell us about tzchok. That's the story of the month. Obviously, there must be something there that indicates to us that there is a connection between laughter and between this month. So we are told in the Megillah about Haman that he was happy. Okay, and I want to quote, where is it written? So in the third perek in Megillat Esther, it's written that Mordechai did not bow down to Haman, even though he became, you know, second to the king, and everybody else was bowing down to him. He got very upset as a result of it. He made a lot in order to know when to attack the Jewish people. He was not happy just with dealing with Mordechai. He understood Mordechai has a nation behind him, and it has to be taken care of together. So he wanted to do something in order to destroy, as he said, להשמיד, להרוג ולאבד את כל היהודים, מנער והזקן, טף ונשים ביום אחד. He wanted to annihilate the Jewish nation, right? And he came to Achashverosh, suggested to him what he wants to do. Achashverosh agreed, and right after it's written, והמלך והמן ישבו לשתות. The king and Haman sat down to drink, what obviously indicates celebrating happiness. What comes right after is Ve'ayir Shushan Avocha. The Jewish people were, you know, in a very bad situation at the moment, right? They were confused, they didn't know what to make out of it, right? But Haman and the king were very happy. So that's one time where we see an indication of happiness in the Megillah, referring to Haman. In Perek Hay, in chapter 5, there is a reference that is more open, even clearer, and it says as follows, that Esther invites Haman and Achashverosh to a party, after she learns from Mordechai what took place about the decree, right, and they make a plan what to do in order to nullify it, so she's making a party for Achashverosh and Haman. And it's written after, ויצא המן ביום ההוא שמח וטוב לב. When Haman was invited, he came out happy, and his heart was filled with joy. Tov lev. Right? He felt good in his heart. So it's another place where we find that Haman felt good, and the Midrash elaborates. The Midrash tells us the following. After they ate and drank, right? He was in a party, right? After they ate and drank, Amar Haman, so Haman said, המלך מגדל אותי. The king is making me very important, right? Gave him his ring, made him second to the king, right? ואשתו מכבדת אותי, and his wife respects me. ואין בכל המלכות גדול ממני. And there is nobody in the whole kingdom of Achashverosh that is greater than me, right? ושמח בליבו מאוד. So he was very happy in his heart. As it's written, and the Midrash quotes over Pasuk, ויצא המן ביום ההוא שמח וטוב לב. On this day, Haman came out very happy, feeling very, very good. So as we see in the first part of the Megillah, we have the story of the happiness of Haman. You look at the Jewish people at that time, very sad story, right? העיר שושן אבוכה, they tear their clothes, they fast, right? They don't eat for 3 consecutive days, even though it was Pesach on a holiday, right? Very difficult situation. Now, what made Haman so happy? When Haman came to Achashverosh to suggest to do whatever he wanted to do to annihilate the Jewish nation, Achashverosh told him, what makes you feel that you will succeed in what so many before you tried and didn't? Right, Faro tried, he didn't, Amalek tried, he didn't right after the, you know, coming out of Mitzrayim, after Kriyat Yamsuf, after the splitting of the Red Sea. What makes you, and he gave more examples, what makes you feel that you will be successful? So the Megillah really tells us what was the process of thinking of a man and what made him feel that he can do it. And it's very detailed. It's based on a pasuk, famous pasuk, in the Megillah, that the holiday is called upon because of it. And it says, "Ipil pur hu hagoral. Miyom leyom, umechodesh lechodesh, uchodesh shnei masar, uchodesh adam." He made a lot. Meaning he left it to Hashem, so to speak. Right? Let me see what my fate is. Do I have a chance or not? Right? Let's see what the mazal, what my fate says. Do I have a possibility to win? And how did he make this goral? He tried to find a day of the week that he wants to do it, or a date, right? The first day of the month, second day of the month. That's why it's written miyom leyom. He tried to find out a day. He didn't go. Then he went to the months. Now let's see, why didn't it go? And what went with the days? Then we'll go to the months and we'll see what happened there. Okay? So I want to quote from you, for you from the Midrash. Okay? He filled poor ביום אחד בשבת. He made a lot and Sunday came in front of Hashem. Okay? He wanted maybe Sunday to do it. So Sunday came in front of Hashem. The angel responsible for Sunday. We know that every entity that is here has a parallel spiritual entity up in Shamayim. So the day of the week, Sunday, has, so to speak, an angel, meaning a parallel spiritual power in Shamayim. And this angel, this parallel spiritual angel, came in front of Hashem and he says, V'nivreu Shamayim v'aretz. Heaven and earth were created on me. That's the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereshit. Bara Elokim et Hashamayim v'et ha'aretz, right? Hashem created the building blocks of heaven and earth on the first day, okay? Ve'amart, and you said, that im lo briti omam v'alayla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If not of the covenant that I have with the Jewish people, I would not create heaven and earth. Meaning heaven and earth depend on my covenant with the Jewish people. And the Jewish people keep the Brit. There is a Brit bivsaram. They circumcise themselves. So there is Brit, okay? And I'm skipping psukim that prove it just in order to save time, right? But they circumcise themselves. They keep Shabbat, which is an ot, a Brit, right? They keep the Heavy Torah, which is called the Brit. So if you want to destroy them, right? This Rasha wants to destroy them, it cannot happen, okay? Because then, what will keep the world going? Then destroy us, destroy the days, destroy reality. Then, he tried the second day, right? So, what did the second day say? The second day said, the Tsar of the second day, the spiritual power that is up there corresponding to the second day of the week, came in front of Hashem and said, ריבונו של עולם, master of the universe, ביום שני הבדלת בין מים העליונים למים התחתונים. What is the essence of Sunday, of Monday? There was, the whole universe was filled up with water, and then it was split into two entities. Upper waters, lower waters, and a space between them. So you divided between, you separated between the upper waters and the lower waters. כן ישראל מובדלים מן האומות. The same way the Jewish people are separated from other nations. It's two entities, different kinds, right? And Rasha ze rotze le'avdan, and this wicked first Naaman wants to destroy them, it's like going against what creation is all about. So it cannot happen, right? That's how the Midrash continues, and I won't go further, I just wanted to give examples to know what it is all about. He continued with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, including Shabbos. And each one had an argument why a man cannot do it in this day. Because there is no right of existence for the day and what it stands for if the Jewish people are not there. Of course, if Shabbat is there and the Jewish people are not there. So what's the meaning of Shabbat, right? And the same with all other days. So it was not successful. That's why it's written, he filled poor miyom leyom. He tried to identify a day in order to do it and was not successful. There were very good arguments against it. So he went to michodesh lechodesh. And it's written twice, michodesh lechodesh. He went from one month to the other, one month to the other. And there was an argument for each month why it cannot be. And again, I'll just give one or two examples to see what was going on, right? So, here it is. Okay.
What would it help if he knows the month if he doesn't know the day? What would it help if he knows the month?
You'll see what he did. We didn't finish.
Do every day of that month?
Wait. You'll see what he did. We didn't finish. It's a good question, but we'll come to it. Okay, let's go further. כיוון שראה אותו רשע שאין הגורל נופל בו בימים, he saw that he's not successful these days, he went to the חודשים, חזר לחודשים. התחיל בחודש ניסן, ועליו הוא זכות פסח. In Nisan, we have the merit of what happened when we came out of Mitzrayim, right? The Korban Pesach, the offerings that we brought, Mila, and all the rest, right, that we accomplished on Pesach. So Pesach is not suitable to annihilate us, right? Now, he go late, he went to Iyar, so there was the merit of Pesach Katan, right? Second Pesach, Pesach Sheni, right? If people were not able to bring the offering on the first, they brought it on Iyar, right? V'zchut Haman shenitan leYisrael b'chamisha'asar yom bo. On the 50th day of Iyar, the man started to come down. What obviously indicates a very special relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. That's not a month to destroy them. And that's how he went from month to month, one to month. Even when he came, the Midrash says, to Tammuz and Av, but seemingly don't have too much merit. So what did Tammuz and Av say? They said, we had enough tzores already in our time. Choose somebody else. We cannot take more. Enough with Tammuz and Av, right? Till he came to Adam. And I want to read what happened in Adam. Okay? Where are we? Yeah. אוקיי. בא לו מזל דגים שהוא משמש בחודש אדם. Now, the midrash connects not only the months, but to the mazal, because that's what he's looking to see. Do I have a good luck, a good mazal, a good fate in this month? Can it happen in this month? Right? So, הוא ראה מזל דגים, and ולא נמצא לו זכות, and there was no merit in אדם. There was not yet Purim there, right? So, no merit in Adam. Ve'samach. Samach miyad. Haman was very happy. Chose Adam. Ve'amar. Adar ein lo zchut. Adar doesn't have a merit. And the mazal doesn't have a merit. In the previous chondashim, the Midrash also discusses the mazalot and what zchut does it indicate. Like moznaim on Rosh Hashanah, it's the judgment, it's what we do on you know, Tishrei. So, Mazal, Dagim, he doesn't find any merit. He goes further. Velod, and not only doesn't have a merit, Ela shebeadar met Moshe Rabban. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Adam. Excellent month. Ve'u lo yada shebeachad beadar met Moshe, uveachad beadar nolad Moshe. He did not know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Adam as well. So the death of Moshe doesn't mean so much. Now, very interesting, the Midrash doesn't say, ב'אחד באדר נולד משה, וב'אחד באדר מת משה. That's the chronological order. He was born on Adar and died on Adar. The Midrash doesn't say so. The Midrash says he died on Adar, but he didn't know that he was born on Adar too. We'll come back to it. ואמר, and he said, כשם שהדגים בולעין, כך אני בולע אותן. The same way that fish swallow each other, right? The big ones swallow the small ones. He is the big one. As we said before, there is nobody greater than him. That's a good month. It indicates that he will swallow the Jewish people who are the small ones. Meaning in other words, what does it mean? What it means is he found a point of weakness that he thought will enable him to do whatever he wants to do. It reminds us very much on Bilam, that he had the ability to know the minute a day that Hashem is bekas, that Hashem is angry. And if you know to say what you need to say in this particular minute, you have a chance. So in other words, he wanted the akev achilas, I don't know how you say it in English, okay, meaning the weak point of Klal Yisrael that will enable him to do whatever he wants to do. Now, we know that to start with, he saw that the Jewish people are for 70 years already in Babel and didn't go back, even though Yirmiyahu said they'll go back after 70 years. Obviously, he did not start to calculate from the right place. The Jewish people went to Babel in three stages, and he didn't start from the right stage. And that's why, to him, it was already 70 years, but it was not really. But that's what he's looking for, meaning Haman is not a simple person. He knows a lot. And he understands what the Jewish nation is, and that's why he wants to annihilate them, because their greatness bothers him. So he's trying to find a way how to be able to do it. Now, what about the days? So he said the following. The seventh day of the month, Moshe Rabbeinu died, right? I won't do it in the coming 7 days. I have to wait for the death because that's my point, right, that I'm clinging to, right? Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's not a good time for the Jewish people. But then there are 7 days of Shiva, and he didn't want the 7 days of Shiva because in the 7 days of Shiva, the merit of the deceased has a power. So he didn't want those. So he's already 7 days later. Later in the month, he didn't want because he knew that the Jewish people start to prepare for Pesach 30 days before. So that's from Yudaled to Yudaled, from the 14th day of Adar to the 14th day of Nisan. So what did he? What was he left with, Yud Gimel? So he calculated that's the right day, and that's why he was going to do it on this particular day. Very, very interesting midrash. Now, what does this midrash tell us? That it was a spiritual war based on who are Klal Yisrael and who is Amalek, who can take over, and is there a time? As Yitzchak told Esav, V'haya kasher tarid ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha, when the Jewish people are not what they are supposed to be, you might have a chance, right? So that's what Aman thought. Now, I want to read now the last part of the Midrash. What is the response of Hashem to these arguments of Haman? And the same idea is written also in the beginning of the Midrash, so I'll read just the end. It's the same concept. He says the following. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem told him, Rasha, wicked person, dagim pe'amim nivla'im, ופעמים בולעים. Fish sometimes are swallowed, and sometimes they swallow others. Right? The larger swallow the smaller, the smaller swallow others, but all of them have the capacity to swallow or to be swallowed. ועכשיו אותו האיש נבלע מן הבולעים. And now this person, Haman, will be swallowed by the Jewish people who will become those who will swallow. Not who will be swallowed, but who will swallow. Now, the beginning of the Midrash indicates that not only Aman did not succeed, but the goral that he made was the goral for himself. Meaning the same fate that he wanted to make happen with the Jewish nation, happened to him. Okay, and the Midrash really ends, and as it's written, v'nahafochu. Right? Things turned around. Okay? Because, v'lo diber Hashem limchot et Israel, Hashem did not want to destroy the Jewish people, אלא כך דיבר. What did Hashem say? מחו אמחה את זכר עמלק. I will destroy Amalek. Meaning in other words, Haman wanted, but unfortunately in our generation, there was a nation from Amalek who wanted the same thing. Judenrein, no Jew, no one. Men, women, children, doesn't matter. Even if you have some Jewish blood in you, you have to be out, right? Hashem said, to explain this more, I want to bring a commentary to the Midrash, Etz Yosef, on what happened on the second day. We read it before. We said on the second day, things were divided, right? Upper water, lower water, instead of one body of water. And the day claimed the same happened between the nations. The Jewish nation are separated from other nations. If you destroy them, it can't go. How did the Midrash say that it can't go? The Midrash said, where is it? I just said it here. Okay. ורשע זה רוצה לאבדן, this wicked person wants to destroy the nation that is separated from the others, הפוך עליונים ותחתונים. You have to turn those who are upper and those who are lower, and then you can destroy them. Very interesting. The second day says, if you want to do it, if you want to destroy the Jewish people, you have to do something before. You have to turn around. Those who are up should be down. Those who are down should be up. So on the superficial level, we think he speaks about the border. Right, and it's based on the midrash of the border, right? The separation between upper borders and lower borders. But Anaf Yosef explains it as follows. He says, Mefoshim explain that the Jewish people cannot be destroyed, ever. Why so? Because Hashem took them as his nation. All other nations are different from the Jewish people in the way Hashem leads them in this world. Each one has a sar. Has a spiritual father, an angel, that is running the show, of course, based on instruction from Hashem. But he runs the show. They are not directly Hashem's, so to speak. Of course, everything belongs to Hashem. But it's indirect. There is an angel that takes care of them. The Jewish people are led directly by Hashem. And Chazal say, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashmid Uma, Hashem does not destroy a nation, unless first he destroys the angel above. Right? We remember from the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, right, that there was a Sar Shel Mitzrayim, the angel of Mitzrayim, followed the Jewish people. Right? And when the Jewish people saw the Sar, when they came to Yam Suf, they got scared. Because if they have the angel with them, that's scary. When Hashem wants to destroy a nation, he first destroys the nation, the angel. But now, Haman wants to destroy the Jewish people. They don't have an angel. Who is the one that is in charge of the Jewish people? Hashem. And being that Hashem is eternal, there is no way to destroy the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, what the Midrash indicates is, what we know, and Hashem promised many times, the Jewish people is a must. The world cannot continue without the Jewish people. But if you looked at that time, at this part of the Megillah that we discussed already, it seemed as if it's about to happen. Right? It's almost there. Ahasuerus was the king of the 127 countries. Haman was the second to the king. Ahasuerus wanted it more than Haman. When Haman suggested money, he said, you can have the money and the people. How do you give the people without money? You will lose. Obviously, you want to do it too, right? So it's done. And Chazal tell us that even in Shamayim, it was sealed already, right? Sealed, but still possible to nullify. But it was not a simple situation. And you looked around, and it seemed that Haman is about to succeed. Even when Haman came to the Mishtevis Esther, it still seemed to everybody who did not know what was going on between Esther and Mordechai that Haman is going to succeed. That's how we interpreted it, right? The king likes me. The queen respects me. There is not nobody greater than me in the whole kingdom. He came out, Sameach V'Tovlev. We know now, in retrospect, that this was the beginning of his fall, even though it was the first party. The fall practically took place at the second. But at this point, everything looked unbelievable, even to the Jewish people. For them, in terms of sadness, and for Haman, in terms of happiness. Because the one that we can maybe rely on, Esther, is inviting Haman to the party with Ahasuerus. We are lost. The last hope is gone. And we are told that that's why Esther did it. She wanted them not to rely on her, but to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But looking at it, it seems as if it's going to happen. And then, as we know, things turned around totally. The motto of Purim is V'Nahafochu. Now let's go back to the laughter. When do we laugh? Let's take examples from everyday reality. A toddler falls, will we laugh? No. If a person who is dressed in a suit and a tie and young and, you know, confident, walking with his, you know, a briefcase and seems very, very together and vivid, all of a sudden falls, his head flies, his bookcase flies, naturally we laugh. We try to stuff ourselves. Obviously, it's not the right thing to do. But that's the spontaneous reaction. Why? What's the difference between case number one with the toddler and case number two? By a toddler, we anticipate it. A toddler is falling. He's not yet stable. And that's the normal thing for him. When something is anticipated, it doesn't cause us to laugh. But when something is not anticipated, that's when we start laughing. That's when we start laughing. I remember, you know, in school we used to sit together at times at the break and tell jokes to each other. Even more so, you know, when we had a weekend program and so on, late at night, everybody would tell a joke and we would laugh, laugh, laugh. And then somebody would say, listen to this one. That's the best you heard. And she became very serious and she said, somebody went to the store and bought American cheese. That's it. Quiet. And we started laughing hysterically, more than any other joke that we heard before. Why? This is not what we anticipated.
You can't get American cheese.
Right? Excuse me?
You can't get American cheese there. That was
a disruption. Doesn't matter. Whatever. You know the example, right? But it's not anticipated. You anticipate something very, very funny. When you realize all of a sudden, after a moment of silence, that this is it, you start laughing. And this was the best joke because it made us the happiest, right? In other words, laughter is a result of something that we did not anticipate. Why did Haman think that he'll succeed? There was a point of truth here. Moshe Rabbeinu really died on Adam, in Adam. And it's not just Moshe the person. Right? It's not just that everybody dies, and his time to die was in Adam. On a conceptual level, there was the death of Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. The Jewish people did something that they were not supposed to do. It was a very high generation, but on their high level, they did some things that they were not supposed to do. And it was a turning point in Jewish history, because it was the last generation of prophecy. We had only a few last prophets. According to some opinion, Mordechai was the last prophet, Malachi, what indicates that there is a lowering of level. In a way, Moshe Rabbeinu died. Why? What does Moshe Rabbeinu stand for? He was the person that the words of Hashem came via his mouth. He is the prophet of all prophets. I, the father of all prophets. No one greater than him before him or after him in prophecy. Right? This stuff. We don't have any more people who talk to us because they were sent by Hashem, heard his voice, and come to convey a message. What is a lowering of level? So he said, Moshe Rabbeinu died. And that's why it was the last month of the year, starting with months. The first month is Nisan. Right? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, it's like a decline, 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 till we got to the end. And he felt, now he can succeed. What didn't he know? What didn't he understand? He didn't understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was born in this month as well. What does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu was born in? What does it matter? Not only at the time that Yocheved gave birth to him. At this very moment, when prophecy stopped, another way of learning and transmitting Torah became the way in the Jewish nation, and they remained alive. Because without Torah, we can't. Nevuah is gone, but on Purim, Torah Shebe'al Peh started to develop. The Oral. Up till the end of time of prophecy, We wanted to know something. We had a difficulty. We didn't know how to explain. There were prophets. They went, they asked, they came back with an answer. Now it's not there anymore. So what do we do when we need to know? We struggle. That's learning Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's hard work. You struggle and struggle and struggle and try and try and try and try to understand till you get it. But you have it. So it's a new era. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in this era too. And that's why the order is Moshe Rabbeinu died, but Moshe Rabbeinu also was born in a different format, in a different fashion. But the Jewish people are eternal. They cannot be gone. We are not always where we are supposed to be. And sometimes it indicates itself in a decree like Haman's. And unfortunately, in our generation, it was not nullified before what happened. Right? Baruch Hashem, obviously, they could not succeed to destroy the whole Jewish nation. But 6 million people is an unfathomable price. Right? But we are here. We as a nation are not gone. There will be another way to connect to Hashem after. That is no. And via this, we will be able to continue to be the nation of Hashem. Let's take an example from our time and age. When we look at what's happening now, it seems to us so bleak. I speak in terms of the Jewish nation. The majority of the Jewish people don't even know what does it mean to be Jewish. Many of them don't even know that they are Jewish. Even, you know, the group of people that does keep Torah and mitzvot. There are so many challenges, so many difficulties, right? The world around us is so opposite of what we have to be, what we have to become, that it seems impossible. But if we look on the other hand, we'll see that even in this time and age, Hashem gave us ways to excel in terms of the relationship with him, and the connection continues. There were never so many Jewish people who were dedicating their life to learning Torah. If the level of learning is like what it was in previous generations, no. But think about the hours that are spent on learning Torah in our time and age. It was not so before, right? There were so many Jewish people in the past who kept Torah and mitzvot, and they're totally ignoramuses because of life circumstances. They lived in small little villages, they had no clue. You know, they did what they remembered, but had no learning. This does not exist today. A child of Bar Mitzvah knows today much more, right, than many, many, many people in previous generations. Look at the chesed in our generation. I don't think there was a generation where there was so much creativity in terms of helping and so much chesed, right? So each generation has its way. Moshe Rabbeinu dies, Moshe Rabbeinu is born. It expresses itself also in the fact that Hashem plants people at those junctions that will be able to guide us and take us to the level that we have to get. Right? If you think about previous generations, and I would like to start, especially because it's Purim with Sarah Schnierer. Right? Purim is a woman's story. Right? Esther, Sarah Schnierer. Rav Yisroel Salanter, the Gaon of Vilna, the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Hirsch, right? There are people there that Hashem plans who know exactly to respond to what is necessary at the time. Hashem has his ways. But it's impossible to destroy the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation is here and will remain here. Okay? So this is what Haman did not understand. Did not understand it. He thought he found a weak point, and if he calculates it well enough, he will be able to accomplish whatever he has to accomplish. Now, the switch between Moshe met and Moshe nolad, Moshe died and Moshe was born, is not happening just on its own. Obviously, the Jewish people fasted, they prayed, they united, There were different things that were necessary at the time. They followed Mordechai and Esther, even though Mordechai seemed to be originally like the cause of the problem. He did not bow down to Haman, but when he told them what to do after the decree, they followed. He was the leader of the generation, and they followed. So there are many things, not easy ones, that they had to do in order to create the turnaround. But it turned around, and it's not by an accident that the story of Purim is the story where whatever happened in the second part is a mirror picture of what happened in the first. It's just that in the first it was Haman on the top and the Jewish people at the bottom, and at the second part it was the Jewish people up and Haman at the bottom. Elyonim lemala v'tachtonim lemata. Right? The same tree that Haman was supposed to be hung on, right? That Mordechai was planned to be hung on, Haman was hung on. It's written in the Midrash that after Haman made a tree, he put himself at it and told his servants or his family, you see, that's how Mordechai will be hung on this tree. And a heavenly voice said, it's suitable for you, the tree. It will be for you. Okay? It will be for you. So, the same tree. He came happy. Right? Came out of the party happy. After, he came to tell, he came out of the party, so Mordechai is not going down to him, got very angry, came home, complained to his family and his friends. What did his wife tell him? Okay, hang him, go, you know, suggest to the king to hang him. He comes and he thinks now he has a solution. Right? The king is the best friend of his. The king commanded that everybody will bow down to him. Mordechai doesn't, he will be with him, why not? Right? And the same thing happens right now, right? He has to be the one to take Mordechai on the streets. What did the Jewish people do when they saw it? They laughed. What else is there to do? It's so not anticipated. The turn of events was so perfectly mirroring what Haman wanted to do, that all that there was to do is to laugh. See, the house of Haman becomes the house of Mordechai. The same day that the Jewish people were supposed to be killed by the non-Jewish people, not only were they saved, they killed them. Right? 75,000 people, we are told in the Megillah. Right? In Shushan alone, I think. Right? I'm not sure if this was in Shushan or all over. Right? But the turning of events, the fact that it was so not anticipated, is what made the Simcha of Haman into Simchas Purim. Purim is a day that even the way we celebrate it is unanticipated. Right? It's such a great day, and we party. Because the essence of the day is the Nahafochu. Right? The opposite. Right? So, the fact that it was so not anticipated is what turned it around. Now, I want to develop it a little further. There is a very beautiful, unbelievable statement of the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says the following. Ele toldot Avraham ben Yitzchak. Yitzchak olid et Avraham. These are the generations of Yitzchak ben Avraham, I'm sorry, I read it wrong. These are the generation of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. We mention Avraham, we mention Yitzchak, and the birth of Yitzchak. Says the Zohar, these are the generations of the laughter and the happiness that will be in this world. Very interesting. Such an interesting statement. These are the generations of Avraham. He gave birth to Yitzchak. Right? Meaning, he tells me, father, son, grandson, so on. Right? Afterwards, we have the birth of Yaakov and Esav. Right? It's the generations of the Jewish people, from Avraham and ahead. Tells us the Zohar, what's the essence of this history, of these generations? It's the history of laughter and happiness. Look at the Jewish history. It's laughter and happiness. That's what it is all about. On a simple level, because it's unanticipated. Cannot be anticipated. So many times when we thought, that's it, and we are still here. If you come to our generation, what was America before the war? Right? And by a few people who were rescued from the Holocaust and came here, America turned into an unbelievable place of vibrant Jewish life with Torah. Right? Was unheard of before. Nobody thought about that it could happen. Right? So this is the story of laughter and happiness. Because laughter tells you it's not anticipated. So how does it happen? Because we are Hashem's, and he leads us directly. And this is the source of all happiness. We are taken care by the one who can do everything, who loves us the most, by our Father in heavens. So obviously we are very, very happy with it. Okay. Now, this concept that the Zohar says is already indicated to us in the Torah before Abraham has children. Hashem told Abraham that he will have a child, and it was against all odds. Abraham could not have children naturally, so didn't Sarah. She didn't even have a womb. Right? So how is she going to have children? And the same with Abraham. They couldn't have children. Abraham looked in astrology. No way. Right? And they were 90 and 100. Right? But they had Yitzchak. Unanticipated, right? But before Yitzchak was born, Hashem told Abraham, call him Yitzchak, because it will cause laughter. Because this child that nobody anticipated will even be born, who is born to elderly parents, before he'll grow up, they will be gone, who will take care of him, right? This child is what the whole world was created for, and follow his history. And you'll come to the day of Azimal Eschok Pino. Then we'll all laugh. Meaning that the whole history of the world is on the shoulders of this one. Now, interestingly enough, the name of Yitzchak is not in the past tense. It's not Tzachak or Tzchok, laughter. It's Yitzchak in the future. This is what will be all along history. We are the source of laughter. Now, the ultimate laughter will be only when Mashiach will come. As imales chokfino. When Mashiach will come, our whole mouth will be filled with laughter. We laugh here a lot from time to time. And if not for our laughter, we wouldn't survive. Jewish jokes and Jewish sense of humor and ability to see life positively is a big strength, right, that maintains us, among other things, right? But that's not the ultimate laughter. The ultimate laughter will be in Trias Amesim. After Mashiach comes in Trias Amesim, at the resurrection of the dead. Why? Because the most unbelievable and unexpected things will happen then. Imagine all the graves opening up. Here is my mother. Here is my father. Here is my grandmother, my grandfather. So Imenu. Obviously, it will cause a lot of laughter. And a lot of happiness. It's totally unanticipated. Do we anticipate somebody coming out of the grave? If we will see somebody coming out of the grave, we'll run for our life. Right? But that's what will happen then. Right? But I want to add to it a paragraph that when I prepared another topic, I found just by opening up Michtav Meliyahu by an accident. An unbelievable Michtav Meliyahu. And he says something fascinating, describing the times of Mashiach. He says as follows. Nitbonen, let's us look together. Kshayavo Mashiach, umala haaretz de'a. When Mashiach will come, and the whole world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. Right. Vechol Yisrael yiyu ba'alei ruach ha-kodesh. All of the Jewish people will have ruach ha-kodesh. Will have the Holy Spirit. And he quotes a pasuk, Acharechen eshpoch et ruchi al kol basam. When Yoel, right, it's Yoel per Gimel, pasuk Aleph, right? After at the time that he describes the time of Mashiach, he says, ואחריכן, and afterwards, meaning after Mashiach will come, I'll pour my spirit on all basar, and Rashi says, ve'Israel, in the Jewish nation. Ruach HaKodesh is not something that other nations have a part in, but every Jew will have Ruach HaKodesh. And Rav Dessler explains what will it be like. What does it mean? He says, Alo kol ahamtzaot, all the inventions, ve'asidurim, and all the things that were organized, established, in and renewed in our world, will be totally not necessary. יהיו מיותרים. They won't be necessary. Why? And ברוח הקודש רואים הכל ממש, אפילו בעניינים שאין צורך. When a person has רוח הקודש, he sees it all. No, nothing stops his sight. So there is a wall here, doesn't matter. If I have רוח הקודש, I'll see what's behind it. And not only things. Okay? He says, אפילו מחשבות בני אדם. Whoever has רוח הקודש reads the thoughts of other people. And he proves it from the Megillah. Esther says, ויומר המן בליבו. המן said to himself in his heart. So he says, how does she know if she didn't have רוח הקודש? So obviously רוח הקודש enables you to see and hear and know things that naturally are impossible to know, right? So he says, אם כן, as a result of it, כל סידורי דואר, mail, ומזרקים, telegrams, it's quite a few years ago, וטלפונים, phones, ורדיו, הכל יהיה כי ישן ושן. Everything will look so old, it won't be necessary anymore. You want to know something, you know it. You don't need any devices. It will be not necessary. Let's go further. וכן, and also, כיוון שתהיה קפיצת הדרך, there will be such a thing that the way is like jumping in front of you. What does it mean? He says, דאינו בכל מקום שנצרח לו שם. What it means is, I want to be now in Israel. Here I am. I have to do nothing. That's קפיצת הדרך, right? The way becomes minimized. So, whatever I want, that's where I am, right? וכיוון שכן, ואם כן, כל אותן העצות והמצאות של תחבורה, as a result of it, everything that enables traveling, right? רכבת, מכוניות, train, cars, מטוסים, planes, הכל מיותר ממש. Everything will be not necessary, right? כלים שנשתמשו בהם, it will be like things that we used. כאשר בני אדם היו עדיין פרימיטיביים. When people were primitive. וחולמי חלומות. When they were dreamers. What does it mean they were dreamers? And he quotes the פסוק, היינו כחולמים, בן השם will bring us back to Zion, will be like dreamers, and then our mouths will be filled with laughter. What does it mean, a dreamer? I see the reality, and I think it's a true reality, but it's a joke. It's nothing. It's a fata morgana. I'll get up 5 minutes later, and I see it's nothing. So we'll see all these inventions that enable us to go from one place to the other. Now we speak about electrical things and what not, and speed that is beyond imagination, right? It will be like things of a primitive reality, a reality that did not recognize the world, did not know what it is really. Let's go further. וכן כל החידושים שברפואה, and everything that medicine discovered all along the way, ניתוחים, surgeries, תרופות, medication, מיותרים לגמרי. Will be unnecessary. Why? כל המחלה לא אשים עליך, כי אני השם רופאך. If you'll do my will, what will be the case then? There will be no sicknesses. So all the doctors, nurses, hospitals, all the industry of pharmaceutical, you know, pharmaceutical industry, right? All the insurance companies, gone, nothing, right? And v'chen ma'achal, the same will be with food. Hakol yamin ha'muchan, everything will be ready. So again, the whole industry of creating food will be not necessary. Okay? So he concludes and he says, Mimela, as a consequence, kol ha'esek b'inyanei olam hazeh yeh megochach mamash. All involvement in physicality will look like a joke. We look at it and say this, and we'll start laughing. Because the contrast, the fact that it will be not anticipated is so sharp, because this was what people dedicated all their life to, that they were famous for, strived for. So we need a peak of their achievements. And it sits in front of us like nothing. And only spirituality, only the connection to Hashem, all of a sudden, will become something that is really of importance. So if we think of what we said now, of what took place between Haman, happy, and then the Jewish people happy. The Megillah speaks about the happiness of the Jewish people too. In the famous pasuk, La Yehudim Haita Ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Ikar. Light, Simcha, happiness, sason, even higher level of happiness. Vika, they had glory, they had glory is the translation, whatever, right? Anyhow, so on the simple level we understand it, they came out from darkness to light. They were supposed to be killed and here they are so happy. What do Chazal say about this? Ora za Torah. Ha'yudim hayta ora. They got Torah. V'simcha, זה גת היום טוב, פורים. וססון, זה מילה. ויקר, זה תפילין. The whole way of looking at things changed. What was the source of feeling, being in a light, happy, joyed? What did we feel gives importance, glory? Only Torah and יום טוב. And Mila and Tfilin, things that connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, we are waiting to Azim Ales Chokpinu. But we have Purim here, till Mashiach will come. And it won't be nullified after Mashiach comes. Because we can achieve this happiness here if we know what is only a toy that is temporarily here. Because Hashem put us in this world because he wants us to act in this physical reality in order to achieve spirituality. And what is the main thing? The more in our life here, we prioritize what causes us happiness. We create spiritual things that become the meaning and the happiness and the satisfaction of life, the fulfillment of life. The more we are getting close to the times of Mashiach, and the higher level will of happiness will experience when he comes there, because we come with a vessel that was already developed. So it's a time of laughter, because we look at the things that everybody runs after and we say, really, it's toys. And then we look at the things that really have value and we see the difference. And the more we see the difference, the more laughter does it cause us, the more happiness does it cause us. And this is the secret of our survival. Because if you speak physically, we are really miserable all along history. What helps us to be a happy nation? This realization. The fact that we know what is the real thing. And the real thing is in our hands. It's a matter of our choices. If I make the right choice, I have it. Other things I can want, I don't necessarily have it. This will happen only when Mashiach comes, that I want to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm there, I don't have to go on a plane. At the moment, doesn't happen. But in terms of spirituality, I have no limitations. If I really want it, I'll get it. And that's the secret of Purim and the secret of our happiness, and that's why Purim will never be nullified. Okay. Have a happy Purim. I'll say also a kosher Freilach and Pesach, because I won't be here. Right, and Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll announce when the class is resumed. Mm-hmm.